You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, joined in the Dog Bowl by Browns senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, Andrew Gribble. Andrew, what's going on, man?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Good. Andrew, the news of the day, Thad Lewis signing with the Browns, being brought in for competition, another guy to just kind of be in the room, not the big overall solution that I think people are looking for.
No, and but I think we all know that Thad Lewis is a great guy to deal with, a good guy to have in the locker room, and then when you dig a little deeper, there's three big connections there. I don't know, some are stronger than others, but obviously Kurt Roper coaching him at Duke, Petten working with him with the Bills, and then, you know, Ray Farmer's a Duke guy. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of – it makes sense to kind of throw him in the room there, but I think clearly the way this is being presented is just another guy in there to instill competition, another player who's been in the league for a few years, bounced around and know what it takes to kind of hang on to a roster. So, you know, a good guy, a good kind of role model player for a guy like Johnny Manziel or Connor Shaw.
Now, that all being said, we just had a caller recently call in and say that he believes that Thad Lewis – and his skill set makes him the best Cleveland Brown on the roster at the quarterback position. Do you believe this to be true?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough to, you know, go that far, but clearly there's something to like about Thad Lewis. He's got some experience. He started 5 games for the Bills, and I was talking with someone earlier today. His start at the end of that 2012 season was a lot like the Connor Shaw start in the end of 2014, where, you know, he did pretty well in a tough situation. Didn't lose the game for you, and kind of the Browns lost both games, but it was maybe a closer result than you might have thought otherwise. So he's a player who's, again, I'd say he's a journeyman at this point, but he's coming back to a place that he spent the longest time in his career. And again, just you need more than three quarterbacks in the room at this stage, and he's the fourth guy to add going forward.
Andrew, what's been popular right now at ClevelandBrowns.com that you're working at, and what's some of the stuff you think people should go ahead and take a look at?
Well, you know, we've been just kind of covering the slow trickle of free agents that have been kind of coming out here. But we all knew, you know, going into this week that it wasn't going to be kind of a crazy week. It wasn't going to be like what the Colts are doing, what even the Raiders have been doing, and even – on another extreme level, what the Saints have been doing and things like that. So we've been for the kind of the bigger name free agents, Brian Hartline. We did a few extra stories on him, dug up some facts that people might not know about him and his kind of his life away from the field, and then just being on top of stuff like writing up about Marlon Moore, what he brings back to the team, and, you know, people kind of look at that signing, they're like, oh, well. You know,
I like that signing.
Yeah, but he was one of the more valuable contributors on special teams. You label him as a wide receiver, but really he's contributing. It's hard to put a two-letter symbol next to his name position-wise, but he was one of the better players on special teams. That Indianapolis game, he had his best game of the season that year with 3 special teams tackles and a forced fumble. He has the ability to return kicks for you. Might not be the guy to return kicks next year, but he can do it. So a valuable guy for Chris Tabor to have back.
I fully believe that Marlon Moore is a guy. He's tough. He is relentless. I remember watching him last year run down, sprint down on the coverage, and formed one of the best coverage tandems with Johnson Batamosi as a gunner. And then literally he would come off the sideline and be hobbling around. But when it was his time to be on the field, you would not know he was injured. He gutted it out. And I think Marlon Moore, I was very happy to see him come back.
And that Colts game stood out to me a lot because it seemed like those guys played with a little bit of an edge with the whole Cribs thing going on. And, you know, I think they bring that, you know, you bring that attitude on special teams. And that's why, you know, there's a lot of stats out there that show, like you said, about the coverage stats for the Browns, one of the better teams in the league at shutting down returns and really forcing some big plays in that area field.
Very good at special teams. We'd like to be good at something else. Nathan just brought to our attention that Kenny Stills is being shopped by the New Orleans Saints. What's your perspective on Kenny Stills, and would doing a deal to bring him here to Cleveland be an upgrade at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, it's just a matter of what you think it's going to take to get him here, and I think the fact that now it's out there and known that he's on the market, I would think the Browns aren't going to be the only one that would be interested in him. Like Nathan said earlier, just the deep threat that he provides, I just remember he's one of those guys. It's maddening to have him on your fantasy football team because one game he's lighting it up with five deep balls because that's what works in the game plan, and other games it's just not there. But to really have that threat in your receiving core is kind of a good ace up your sleeve. And maybe he's not a player you put on the field every down, but when you put him on the field, he's a guy the defense has to account for. So I don't know if the Browns have that right now, and I think that's something that any team is always looking for. But he's a player that's been in the league and shown he can do it. But clearly, everyone on the Saints has a price right now, and
yes,
I don't know if there's anyone
there's
that's
a bounty
not safe.
On them.
I mean, people are joking about the Drew Brees thing, but when you see a guy like Jimmy Graham traded, a player like Kenny Stills, who's a solid good player, it seems like they're just going for the whole facelift play for beyond 2015 this season.
And forget, you know, what the New Orleans Saints are trying to do. It just comes out right now, Ian Rapoport reporting that Evan Mathis, the Eagles reportedly are going to try to trade him, the number two overall guard, according to Pro Football Focus last year. They want to trade Evan Mathis now. Chip Kelly wants to trade everybody, it seems like, on his roster.
I think the weird thing about both of the Saints and the Eagles is that they're doing these things, and you're like, oh, they're getting cap space to do things, and then the Eagles go then and dump a bunch of money at DeMarco Murray after they trade their running back, because you think they're piling up all this money to make a move for Mariota or do something like that. And then the weird thing with the Saints was they're making all these moves, and then they re-signed the one player who I thought was for sure gone in Mark Ingram. Like, I thought he didn't fit with that team at all.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you see his deal, 4 years, $16 million. You're like, you know, this doesn't seem to make sense. You seem to think you know the NFL, and then all of a sudden it just kind of – it looks like the Saints are almost rebuilding their entire offensive identity because that's what they could rely on. But now it just seems like with all the pieces going elsewhere, it looks like they're almost building to be kind of a run-first type of team with – Max Unger in the middle of that offensive line, and then Mark Ingram, who's a power runner, not a guy who's going to catch many passes for you out of the backfield. So it's interesting to compare these two teams, what they're doing. It's just so wild to watch.
Now, they are saying that Reggie Bush is having serious talks with New Orleans. Brandon Browner as well down there. Looks like a deal could be finalized with him. His name had at one point been linked to the Browns, hadn't been here. Parrish Cox is the cornerback who is reportedly in the building today that the Browns are giving a look at five picks a year ago for the San Francisco 49ers.
You would think that something will happen at that position, whether it's Cox or whether it's someone else, because, you know, Screen, whether or not he projected as a slot guy in the future, you lost a starting cornerback, and you would think you want to get that before the draft happens. This is not a great draft for defensive backs, though there are a couple names that are emerging as better than people might have thought, like a Jalen Collins from LSU. He wasn't really on the radar as a first-round pick earlier, but now he's kind of moving up draft boards. But you'd think one way, shape, or form, whether it's, you know, in the next few days or the next couple weeks, that defensive back position is addressed going forward, or if not now, then certainly you have to again start thinking about defensive back in the first few rounds.
Well, it just alleviates a little bit of the pressure, and it drives competition as they want to do, because you'd have Gilbert, Dazier, Cox all competing now for that spot. It would just leave you with a better
Sure.
You don't need one of those rookies to make that massive leap if you have a guy like a Parrish Cox.
And look what competition did for Buster Screen last year. You know, getting the fact that you see a player as the number 8 pick in the draft brought into your room, and knowing what that means at that position, where even though a lot of cornerbacks struggle during their rookie season, a lot of teams go forward and put him in the fire to get him ready for those next few years. So that lit a fire under Buster Screen, made him better, made him a lot of money going forward. And so, you don't want to just have Pierre Desir and Justin Gilbert competing for that spot. You want to have a guy who's been around the league a little more and can push them to be as good as they could be.
Andrew, was this the most shocking and newsworthy first day of free agency this past Tuesday that you can, you know, remember in the last decade?
Yeah, and the thing that made it shocking was it really had nothing to do with actual free agent signings.
That's
it was
right.
All about trades.
And
you know, as I think someone pointed this out on Twitter, if the NFL really starts to develop a hot stove season like baseball, and because this is kind of a new development in the NFL to see good players be traded for
sure.
Good players. And I think if this starts happening more often in the NFL, it's going to go from the most popular sport and then start lapping some of these other professional sports, because, you know, this is the time of year where I'm only seeing NFL trade talk, NFL offseason talk on there, and we're like a week away from the NCAA basketball tournament. I'm not hearing as much coverage as that stuff used to get, because the NFL now is truly 365 24/7 league, and it's getting bigger and bigger with the way the offseason is covered, and now that actual interesting stuff is happening in the offseason, it's going to take an even bigger leap.
Do you think that's something good for the game of the NFL and the common fan who falls in love with a Jimmy Graham? You have the family decked out in 80 jerseys and, you know, in black and gold, and all of a sudden, you know, you think he's got a future when he signs a big deal, and then, you know, 2 years into that deal, he's shipped off somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, I think it is. I just think it makes it more interesting for the fans to follow. Yeah, and I think that everyone, especially with fantasy football, everyone likes to be the GM at home, and they like to see that these GMs are making the trades that we used to wish happened or talked about formulating. Because, you know, you just look and see in the past, just a few years ago, it's always, if you're trading a player, it's always for like a draft pick or two, and it's always like disproportional. It was always like a very good player for like a fourth round pick or something like that. Now it's getting to the point where you're getting value
for
value,
yeah,
and where you look at the an Eagles Saints the Eagles Bills trade, and you can say, wow, both teams, I can understand that reasoning, and they, it wasn't just a, this team is having a fire sale, it's both these teams think they're getting better with that move they made, and it's not just a move to prepare for the season beyond that.
Andrew, great stuff as always. Check him out on ClevelandBrowns.com and Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. on News Channel 5. He'll join myself and Andy Baskin on the Dog Pound Report. So certainly good to see Gribble on there, and good to have him here. And check him out on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble and, of course, on ClevelandBrowns.com. Thanks, brother.
No problem.
All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines again, 216-578-0850. What would you guys think about Kenny Stills? What would you think about Dwayne Bowe? You want wide receivers for this team. What do you think there for this team going forward? Parrish Cox, the rumors that he is in the building today. What would you think about bringing in another corner for the Browns? All right, let us know. 216-578-0850.
What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.